Zechanishmas Daniel Shane was Yoshua Falak. Hello, hello. Shalom, Harav Brand.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to Chicago. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well, Rabbi Kraft.
How's your mishpacha?
Okay, trying our best. Rabbi Zucker, who else is here? I can't see you. Oh, Yehuda Myers. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Yehuda Myers. Daniel Cantor. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. All my friends.
So happy to see you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. And who's this? Katz? Katz?
Yossi Katz. I'll come on video shortly.
Okay. 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 Okay, so thank you so much for inviting me once again.
We're happy to give you a chance to get out a little bit, come to Chicago. I know it's everyone's...
That's right. It's a little bit... Okay, and it's good to see you all, and Bez Hashem, b'schus, you know, the Torah and the learning, you know, we should have a Yeshua, Bekarov.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Kraft asked me to share some Divrei Torah, I think, about Hechsher Kalim, so we'll do some minyanim hechsher kalim. Of course, we'll have to end up with some, as I always promise Rabbi Brand, to end up with some milei dagoda at the end. So we'll try to mekayim everything we can. Okay. So the story is like this. We know, I mean, it's this week's parsha. Parsha's Tzav is one of the Parshias in the Torah about Hechsher Kalim. We know in Matos we have with the clay Midyan, and in Tzav, in the clay HaMikdash, we also have a Parsha of Hechsher Kalim. And we know that there are two types of Hechsher Kalim, Libun and Hagala. And Libun is, of course, when the Blia is Al Yidei Ha'esh. And Hagala is like, so if you would be roasting treif meat on a spit. So the Blia is Al Yidei Ha'esh, there's no Mayim involved. And therefore, you would have to machshir it Al Yidei Ha'esh. In contrast to when the Blia is with water, say you had a treif pot that there was a treif piece of meat and there obviously was full with water. So then the hechsher is al yidei mayim. There is a discussion in the poskim. What is the status of frying pans al pidin? Machvas. How do you kasher a machvas? So it's not exactly just on the fire with this oil there, but it's not like a big abundance of water like there is when you cook some chicken or some meat with a pot of water. So what is it? And the Rosh discusses that maybe you need to do, Libun, because the Rosh discusses that the oil could dry up, and then it'll be more or less, you know, just like a Libun scenario where there's not so much. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in different places. In Hilchos Hechsher Kalim, it's brought down that you need to do Libun. And in Hilchos Pesach, it's brought down that you could suffice with Hagala. And what's the chiluk? So there are two mahalchim. One mahalach is that when it comes to Pesach, there's a machlokas whether belias on Pesach and considered hetera bala or yisura bala. So if they're considered hetera bala, I mean, we normally consider it yisura bala lagabe, that we require libun if you would take a spit and you would roast pieces of bread on the spit, and then you would want to kasher that spit for Pesach, so we would require you to do libun. Even though if it was considered pure heter bala, it would be sufficient to do hagala. So Mamela, the Mefarshim, Chok Yaakov, the Gra, and others say the way Rav Shechta said it over once, it's sort of like a sveik sveika. Sort of like a sveik sveika. That maybe, in other words, it's a suffix whether you need a frying pan as it is needs hagala or libun. And even if you would say that it needs libun because it dries up, but maybe chametz is hetera bala, and therefore it would be sufficient. And that's the way, as Rav Shechta pointed out, some of the achronim say pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, I think based on the Chok Yaakov, the Gra, and those mefarshim. I remember years ago, I was living in Brooklyn, and one of the places in Brooklyn, there are a lot of places to daven. I don't know about that. Now everyone's closed, but in those days, so one of the places I davened is in Rabbi Yitzchak Isby's shul. He was the Rav there. He was from Baltimore. Excuse me one second, please. Hello? Yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm giving you a share over Zoom. Everything's okay?
Correct. Do you remember Rabbi?
I'll call you back, okay? Zygazun.
I do not know him. Rabbi Yitzchak was one of the founders with Rabbi Brühl of Avos Yisrael, and he died many, many years ago when we were kids. He died when I was in elementary school from ALS.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there were a couple of Isbys. So Rabbi Yitzchak Isby was the Rav. In fact, is just his yahrzeit is in the beginning of Nisan. Rabbi Yitzchak Isby unfortunately died of pancreatic cancer, so that was one of the places that I would daven. And he once told, he would give, sometimes I davened there Friday night, he would tell a Dvar Halacha. So he gave the following story. It happened one in the yeshiva that he was teaching in, that one day somehow something was wrong with the breakfast, and one of the people there who worked in the yeshiva, who was not Jewish, decided to be nice to the guys and would make them fried eggs or something on a frying pan. And then afterwards, when Rebbeim found out what happened, so it was a shayla of bishalakum. It was a shayla of bishalakum. So I don't know if they ate it yet or didn't eat it yet, but I remember that Rabbi Yisby said, so they, you know, so they decided that they would need to do a libun on the frying pan, and anyway that would have destroyed whatever frying pan they had, so they just chucked it, and I think that was the story. So afterwards, I suggested to him that maybe based on the sveik sveika that we said over here, that it would be okay, because first of all, there's a machlokas whether a frying pan needs libun and hagala, and then there's another machlokas whether you need hechsher kelim bechlal for the bishalakum. So he heard me, and that was what I was mayor. Parenthetically, I was just thinking about him recently, Rabbi Isby, because I remember remember the snowstorm of 1996. It was a huge snowstorm. You remember the snowstorm of 96? And that Shabbos, he gave a drasha about, you know, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, there's an hashkacha on everyone's life. How it changed for that snowstorm. This person missed this person, you know, and that. And I said to myself, wow, that was the 96. Imagine what he would say today, you know, to the hashkacha. You know, that was minuscule compared to what's happening now, and how the hashkacha has, in so many ways, impacted, you know, everybody. Some people in a more significant way, some people in a less significant way, but how that changed. So that was the sveika that the Achronim have on the machlas. However, there is a tshuva of the Ramah Mipanu, the Shach quotes it, the Menachem Azariah Mipanu, who was a Makubo, an Italian Makubo. There's a whole discussion whether he had a beard or not. That's usually if you're Makubo, you know, you're supposed to have a beard. And here there was a question whether he had a beard, or he didn't have a beard. Okay, whatever it may be.
Most of the chevra on this video don't remember Rabbi Simon before the beard. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay, all right. Before I became a Makubal. yeah. So I was asking around. You know, what are the Makubalim saying about this? Someone told me Rabbi Gamliel Rabinowitz went to Meron with a lulav and esrog and was makif the area. Yeah.
Hi.
What?
I didn't get a shot on that.
Maybe I don't know. Someone was saying maybe it's based on the Gemara and Sukkah. Someone was saying that, you know, that the lulav, you know, gira be'enei the sitna, you know, maybe a face like darts in the eyes of the satan. That's what someone maybe suggested. But whatever the case may be, so the Ramah Mipanu has another approach to the whole concept of Liban and Hagala. He has another approach. He says, that, in other words, normally we assume that, you know, if it's just Al Yedei Ha'esh, so then it's Liban. If it's with Mayim, it's a lesser of a Blia, so it's Hagala. But he says like this, his Mahalech is the concept of emtsoi, a buffer. He says like this, when you have a piece of meat, right, and you cook it with water, so the reason why the blia is not as a significant blia is because there's a buffer between the meat and the pot, namely the water. That's the buffer. So once there's a buffer shall heter, that causes the blia to be more insignificant, not as strong, and then it could come out with hagala. In contrast to what? To when you have libun, say the case we gave before, when you had the spit, and the spit has the bread on it, or something, or the treif meat on it, so there's no buffer. It's direct. And that's how he explains the difference between Liban and Hagala. Then he goes ahead and he says in that Shuvah, in the Ramah Mipanu, he goes ahead and says that he thinks that's the difference between the different frying pans. We said in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a question whether a frying pan needs Liban or Hagala, and then we said the Shulchan Aruch is Machalik between frying pans of treif, in contrast to frying pans of chametz. He says like this, because by chametz, so basically what do you have? You have say French toast that you were making. You make your weekly French toast, and you have the oil. So the Dover Isser is the chametz, and then you have the oil, which is kosher oil, right? So that's the emtsoi shel heter. And then you have the kli. So Mamela, it has a buffer, and therefore a gala is sufficient. In contrast to the treif, so Mustama, he was using treif type of oils and fat and things like that. The oils were made from, so the oil itself was treif. So is emtsoi shel iser and mamela, that's why you need liban. Not with the svara that we said, that we mentioned before with the sveik sveika. But this is another pshat in this halacha given by the Ramah Mipanu.
So it's in Ukimta that when it came to the treif cooking, they were using treif oil?
Yeah, in other words, Mustama, right. In other words, the assumption is that the treif things were from treif types of, ingredients, of treif oil, etc. I mean, you can call it Ukimta, or you can call it the Stama, the Milsa. Yeah.
So Nafkamino would be Basa B'chalav.
Oh.
Meaning if it's treif because of Basa B'chalav, so then the Amtsai would be Heter.
If what? If you would have a bus of b'chalav?
If you have a fleishig pan and you fry something in it that's milchix, but you're using...
Okay, we'll get to that. One second. So the simple difference with this Ramah Mipanu is, say, for example, you would have a kli full of blood. Non-kosher. Blood. Dam. And it got cooked. So, and say it's a whole... a nice amount of blood. So would we consider that to require Liban or Hagala? Normally we would say, so that's like water. That's water. So when it's water, then that would be sufficient to have just to fill it up with water and do Hagala. But if you're working with the Ramah Mipanu, that's how some explain. If you're working with the Ramah Mipanu, that you need a buffer, emtsoi shel heter, so that when you need an emtsoi shel heter, here there's no emtsoi shel heter. So even though it's liquid and would otherwise be being considered a prime candidate for Hagala, the Ramah Mipanu would say that you need to do a Liban in such a case because there's no emtsoi shel heter. This is discussed also by the old... the tins, the aluminum tins. So, it used to be, I don't know if they still have these, but they were smeared with fat. And the question was whether, in terms of kashering these tins. And I think Rav Avadi Yosef and the Abi Omer has a tshuva about this, and other poskim. So they and the Chasam Sofer and others. So they all talk about this discussion about the Ramah Mipanu. Maybe you would need a liban, and then obviously if you're having a tin with liban, so I don't know, how good the tin is going to be after you do the liban to it. So but that was the discussion of this Ramah Mipanu and the. On one hand, and the other achronim, on the other hand, to understand the fundamental difference between the Liban and Hagala. Of course, we know that Liban, the Ra'ah in the Berak HaBayis, he's the one who articulated this concept that Liban is Soref Bimkomo. Right, Hagala is maflit something, and Liban is sorif bimkomo. And the context they talk about it is whether by cham miktsaso cham kulo, when you're being machshus of the kli, you just have to be machshus the side of it, and then the metal will be a conductor for the rest of the heat, or do you have to apply the exact fire to each spot, and you can't just say I'll put the fire in the end, and then the heat of the metal will conduct the heat to the rest. But you need a direct. So that's in that course of that discussion, the Ra'ah says that maybe there's a difference that you need sort of bimkomo. So that's a question of where you. The discussion of where you have to fire has to be. It's not just polite. It's sort of bimkomo. And then then maybe you need I have to check exactly what he said, but maybe you need a direct heat to each spot. And so that's the there is a Haggadah Shel Pesach called the Agudos Ezov, the son of the Arugas Habosem, the Agudos Ezov. And in that Haggadah, he has a kuntres called Klach Shel Ezov, which was out of print for many, many years. And finally, like a year or two ago, it resurfaced with the kuntres, and I was very excited about this kuntres. And one of the things that that he says in this kuntres is that there's a difference between, say, the ovens of yesteryear and the ovens of today. That the ovens of yesteryear were sort of like pizza ovens, where you put the dough directly on the oven. Today, most of the ovens that we have are not, we have racks and we have different things that we put it on the racks and different shelves and things like that. So we don't line, you know, the chametz doesn't really touch the floor or the wall. That was, you know, it was machazal. That was the redias hapas, that you would peel off the pas, the dough from the dofne hatanur. And today, you know, except in the pizza ovens, but a regular oven that you have in your home, you don't do that. You have the shelves and you have, you know, different levels and things like that, and it doesn't touch the. So at worst, what's going to be is zeya. And even that, you know, there are. Rav Ben Tzion Vosner wrote a very beautiful tshuva several years ago in the Or Yisrael, where he says that it's based on the tshuva Harash. Rav Abadi said a similar svara to me, and that is that that today, that most the ovens of today usually don't have any zeya, because haraya, the condensation, if you would feel it, you know, obviously it's too hot to feel, but if you would feel it afterwards, you wouldn't feel any condensation on the roof of your oven, because it's all burnt up. The Rush and the Tshuva writes this svara. It could be that when the heat is so hot, there's no zeya because it burns up in the air. It burns up in the air, so there would be no zeya. So if there'd be no zeya, then, you know, so then you wouldn't even have that. But a worst case scenario that you have zeya, so then that's what the Klach Shel Ezov. And it's also that Klach Shel Ezov was brought down also in the Rabbi Tzvi Cohen's Sefer in the Hagolas Kalim. I visited him once, Rabbi Tzvi Cohen. He wrote Tfilas Kalim. He lives like a building over from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And he was very surprised. He had no clue how popular his farm are in America. You know, like he's living in Bnei Brak, you know, like he had no clue. So he said, he's a mishpacha with Rabbi Shlomo Friedman from Karen B'Yavna, a mishpacha. So he said, you gave me chizuk, that you tell me that people use my svarim, etc. So b'meila, so that was the Klach Shel Ezov's idea, that the concept of doing libun on an oven, bizman hazeh, might not even be necessary, because again, the ovens today are not the way they used to be in terms of you putting the tray food or the dough right on the floor or on the side of the oven. And at worst, it would be a shayla of zeya, and therefore, and that might not even be. But if it's only a din of zeya, so it shouldn't require a real liban. So therefore, it would, you know, and therefore, if you would put you'd put the oven up high. You see, people always discuss this, you know, But how hot does the oven have to be? Does it have to be 900, or has to be, you know, as hot as you ever put it in? And they say over, I think Rabbi Blumenkranz had a sefer, you know, kibolo kach polto. Do you say that if the bliya never got so high, then the heksher doesn't have to get so high? But others say no, the heksher is a shear. Whatever the shear, it's a shear. But here, the heksher is only a heksher al yidei. The bliya is only a bliya al yidei zeya at worst, as I said before. It could be Rav Vosner, Rav Mtsiyam Vosner, Rav Badi. Others say there's not even. Say Rav Shechter works with the idea that there's vents and it's not as condensed, you know, not thick steam. But even without that svara, the svara of the Tshuvas Harosh is that if something is very hot, it's nisraf. The Zeya is Nisraf. So that would be, you know, a big kula in terms of the oven. You know, there's a lot of people who would always blowtorch. That was the old minhag, to blowtorch your oven. And then you come to shul on Pesach morning and you'd see people's hands in casts because they blowtorched their oven and didn't know exactly what they were doing. And so if you don't have to, as you know, as I always say, the less fire, the better. I always tell my Talmidim, the less fire. When we got married, I told my wife, we're only lighting two candles. Not heavy, you know, Zohar v'Shomer, that's it, two candles. And then her sister, who got married before, wanted to do what we were doing. She already started having, you know, doing a prayer. You know, because whatever, it's, fire is dangerous, and that's it. So that's the other idea that we have.
So does Rebbe recommend to Talmidim when they're kashering for Pesach just to turn the oven on high and not to do a self clean?
Yeah, so it depends. Like somebody just said to me today, the self clean is going to cause problems for them. So I says, if it's a problem, then you don't need the self clean. You don't need the self clean. The self clean will be very, very hot for Shteitzach. And but you don't need the self clean. I mean, I really think, like Rabbi Rabadi said, Mikra Adin, you might not need anything. But you know, like Rabbi Willig once said, in a different context, certain things in life are a kula she'ena tzibur yicholim lamod ba. You understand? So you can't tell people they don't have to do anything. They won't be able to deal with that. They just won't be able to deal with that. So you got to tell them to do something. So if I would just say to them that I hold, like everybody holds, that me'ikar adin, and the self-clean will often break the other, okay, maybe, you know, and therefore, I tell people that if not everyone has self-clean, that they could go ahead and just put it on high for an hour or so, and shalom al Yisrael. And especially this year, where so many people are making, ourselves included, are making Pesach for the first time. This is they're making Pesach for the first time, so it's a challenge. You know, among all the other challenges that are happening, you know, hopefully we should only have good things coming of this and not bad things, chas v'shalom. But then there's always people who have a set of china. Every family has a set of china that hasn't been used in the past 20 years. And usually from some great-grandparent who wasn't so observant, and it's been sitting there in the basement, you know, and no one knows what to do with it. And, you know, so the question at hand is china considered kli charis? So if china is considered Licheres, so then we don't do. Obviously, you can't do hagala on Klicheres, because it's not. Eina Yotze HaTorah Hi'ido Lav. This week's Parsha. Klicheres Yishover. HaTorah Hi'ido Lav Al Klicheres She'eina Yotze Midofneo La'olam. And so why can't you just do Libun? Well, Libun you can't do because we're afraid, the Gemara says, Dilma Paki, that you're not going to do a good job because it's going to, you know, it'll destroy the Kli. And mainly you're going to try to not do such a good job, so it won't destroy the Kli, and mainly you won't, so that's the Dilma Paki. And the Gemara says in Psachim, the second parak, the only thing possibly you could do is Chazar LeKivshonos. You put it back into the Kivshon that it was made in, and then it's upon him Chadoshos Ba'olokan, and then you Masalik yourself from it, so it's no there's no Chashash of Dilma Paki, because you Masalik yourself from the Kli. So there is a question. So many years ago, when Rabbi Tendler used to give the fourth year halacha l'maisa about hechsher kelim, originally when they had the fourth year halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Zerubbabel Shusheim Zatzal, he was in charge. He was the first. I was the first year of that program, of the Rabbi Shusheim Zatzal was the one in charge, and Rabbi Tendler would do Tfilas Kalim and Heksha Kalim. Rabbi Bleich would do Ribbis. I think that was the only year they had Ribbis. After that, they changed it. And Rabbi Willig would do Bishul, you know, whatever it was. So Rabbi Tendler mentioned to put the china in the self-cleaning oven. Now, if you put and then hope that it doesn't break, you know, and he was considering that Chazar LeKivshon. Now, not everyone, Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman of Williamsburg, thought that that's not even considered Chazar LeKivshon, because you don't, even though it's the same principle, Rabbi Tendler was working that it's the same principle, that you put it, you masalik yourself. You're not holding there, so it's no chashash that you're going to not do a proper job. But
the door is locked. You can't even take it out if you want.
Right. You can't take it out if you want. But Chaim Kalman Gutman thought it has to be a kivshon that you actually will make a kli from. And then it's considered Panim Chadoshos Ba'olokan. And since no one can make a kli in a self-cleaning oven, it's not hot enough to make, you know, of a real kiln. But anyway, you know, I'm doubtful how many kalim will survive such, how many kalim will survive the self-cleaning ovens. So there can be other svaras lakula, you know, besides the self-cleaning oven. First of all, Rav Abadi in his Sefer Or Yitzchak suggests that when it's then china that's glazed is considered like zchuchis and not boleya. Meaning like this, he holds that you don't need tefilas kalim because it's not zchuchis. You know, I first understood what this glaze is when my, you know, cholamoy trip. What that people do is they go to the west side and they go to one of these pottery, and you make pottery and then you shellac it. So Rav Abadi and Or Yitzchak is of the opinion that that it's not boleya because it's not zchuchis, but it's like the concept like zchuchis, that it's smooth and not boleya. So if you assume like that, then there was no boleya. So they have nothing to worry about. And then the Chacham Tzvi is of the opinion that after a year, the blia goes away. Meaning that normally we assume that even after, when something's Einu Ben Yomo, so there's a Gzeira Einu Ben Yomo Atu Ben Yomo. Right? And that Gzeira Chora is forever. So the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where it was like almost 2 years old, and somebody cooked in a chametz sticker thing. So the Chacham Tzvi says that that he thinks really after 2 years, after a year, it's not, the gzeir is off. Because it's the Tom, we have this by Yayin Nesach, but that it's brought down that after 12 months, it's bottle, it's nothing. So the question is, but the poskim never said it by anything but Yayin Nesach. Poskim never said it by anything but Yayin Nesach. So Chacham Tzvi says, well, it should apply everywhere. Why only in Yayin Nesach? But he says, no. But he thinks that we should make a gzeira after a year, atu toch a year. Just like Eino ben yom, atu ben yom, we should make a gzeira. And he says, so therefore he doesn't want to be mekel. He says the only time he thinks you could be mekel is by chometz bepesach, according to the Ramah. Why? The Ramah shita is that no sin tam levgam betoch pesach is usher, and the mechabeshit is that nosin tam levgam is mutter bepesach. So he says like this, that if you're going to take something, a chametz stick a kli that hasn't been used for a year, and on chol hamoed, and you're going to make a matzah brai on chol hamoed, so then. So then he says like this, that and you didn't kasher it from Pesach. So he says that according to the Ramah, so it's nosin tam levgam is gonna be what? Is aser. So the food is gonna be aser. And according to the Mechaber, the food is mutter, right? But if it's past a year, if it's more than a year old, so then he says that according to he thinks Meikar Adin, it's not even no Saint Tam Levgam anymore. It's Mutter Legamri. But the question is, should we make the Gezerah? So he says the Chumra of the Ramah comes out to be a Kula here. Because he says when you make a Gezerah, so if it's very blatant, the difference between Eino ben Yom and Yom, or toch a year and after a year, is blatant, then perhaps you don't need to make a gzeira. So here, over here, toch hazman, according to the Ramah, is going to be what? Is going to be osir. It's going to be osir afilu b'diyevid, right? Because no sin tam levgam is osir. After a year, we want to say that it's going to be mutter lechatchila, right? So that's a very sharp contrast between being mutter lechatchila and osar afilu b'diyevid. So therefore, we're not choshesh for the gzeira, because it's the contrast is very strong. But according to the Mechaber, that nosin tam levgam is mutter b'pesach, so that means, but there's still a gzeira atu ben yomo, so then toch the year is going to be what? Is it's going to be mutter b'diavad. After a year, it could be mutter even lechatchila. That's too similar, and therefore we're going to make a mistake, and we have to be gozer. So that was his chap, that the chumra of the Ramah becomes a kula. The chumra of the Ramah, the nosin tam levgam betoch pesach is osir. Is going to become a kula after a year, because then the contrast is very, very strong. After a year, it's mutter legamer lechatchila. Toch a year, it's osar afilu b'dievid. So we don't have to worry we're going to make a mistake, because the contrast is very strong. In contrast to the, according to the Mechaber, that within a year is going to be mutter legamre b'dievid, and after a year is going to be mutter legamer lechatchila, that if we would hold from this thing, then it would be too similar and we'd have to make a gzeira. So in the end, he doesn't really want to sign off on this, because he thinks maybe we still should make a gzeira. But the poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, others, use this as a sniff. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein always required to wait a year for the dishwashers. Right, to wait a year for the dishwashers and to run them three cycles. The three cycles is the idea of the Yerushalmi and Trumos. This I once discussed this with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. The Yerushalmi and Trumos says that by Kli Cheres is Eino Yotzei Midofi LaOlam, right? So Hagola certainly not. But the Yerushalmi says if you do Hagola Gimel Pa'amim, it's good. Where is this quote? It's only quoted once in Shulchan Aruch Legabi Hilchas Bishul Akum, that if you hold that Bishul Akum requires a Bishul Akum requires Hechsher Kalim, and it's a Kli Cheres, so you can't kasher it, but you can go Hagola, you can do Hagola Gimel Pa'amim. You can do Hagola Gimel Pa'amim. So Mamela, so that was Rav Moshe's tshuva to do Hagolah Gimel Pamim. Rav Shechter likes to quote that Rav David Feinstein asked the Kasha on Rav Moshe that when you machshir a kli, so you can use a kli Eina Ben Yomo, so how come we weren't gozer that Eina Ben Yomo Ato Ben Yomo? So the Rosh says, because even if you're going to mess over, it's still going to be minimum how much of a bliya there's going to be, because it's full of water and it's going to be a minimal bliya, and you won't really. Rav Shechter said, the way Rav Shechter likes to articulate it, even though it's not the way it's fully written in the Rosh, but it's the same the way he understands it, is that they only answered Eino Ben Yomo Ato Ben Yomo in the Kli Shemevashlim Bo. So not a kli that you machshir, and perhaps not a kli that you clean like a dishwasher. So Rav David said to Rav Moshe in the tshuva, he says, why do you have to wait a year? Just wait a day, and when you wait a day, so then it's Eino Ben Yomo, and then you just have to do it three times. I remember the first time I ever spoke to Rav Abadi, this goes like one conversation we had like 30, 40 years ago. And then we didn't speak a long time, and then we developed a relationship later. So I called him up, I asked him, is it true that the Rav holds that all you have to do is wait a day for it to be machshir the dishwasher? So he said to me, no. It's not true. You don't even have to wait a day. Because he held that it's pogum, meikara, everything that's pogum in there, so he held you don't even have to wait a day. He holds, there was a tshuva written by Rabbi Matluba Badi, Shailus and Tshuva's Magen Badi, who is the rabbi of the Syrian community in Flatbush. And he wrote a tshuva where he permitted, and this is what the community, I don't know if the community still does that, but at a certain point, this is what the community was doing. They would use a dishwasher for milchak and fleishiks at the same, imkol and arm, at the same time, everybody. You know, that was the Syrian minhag in the Syrian community in Brooklyn, based on his, because he considers it all pogum, etc. Okay. So let's just review a little bit what we discussed today, and then we'll end with
Who's the chavrus over there?
What?
Who's your chavrus?
This is Yehuda Lev Simon.
Oh my gosh, he's huge.
Yeah, Yehuda Lev Simon. You remember him?
Yeah,
Yehuda Lev Simon is one of my good chavruses here, and
All right, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So, what did we discuss? We discussed the Levin and Hagala. That we discussed what's the vort by Machvas? Is it because of the Sfex Feka? We discussed the Ramami Panu that he didn't work with the Sfex Feka. He worked with the Emtsoi. And then we discussed so therefore the Nafkamin, if you would have blood or something like that. So it would be a liquid, so most would say do Hagala, and Ramami Panu would say you have to do a Liban. And then we discussed the the Tanur about the maybe our ovens today are different, that you don't need Liban today because maybe it's only Bli al Yidei Zeya, and we said maybe there's not even Zeya, but worst case scenario is Bli al Yidei Zeya. And then we discussed so that was the from the Klach Shel Ezov, what we're just discussing now, the dishwashers, the Agol Gimel Pa'omim, and these are some of the Yisodos. Yeah, Harav Katz.
Regarding the ovens, can you just mention what we do with the racks?
The racks of the ovens. The racks, yeah. Also, so my wife was telling me maybe if you do self-clean, that might cause the racks to be, get ruined or something like that. But so then I told her if she's doing self-clean and she has a problem that might ruin her racks, then she could do it a second time, not self-clean, we'll just keep it on a high temperature, which is what I told you, the Klach Shel Ezov holes is meager than anyway. So if you feel that when you, if you're doing a self-clean and you feel that's going to ruin the racks, take the racks out, do your self-clean, and then put the racks back in with a Liban that's not, such a high one. And this way, now for sure that's not going to ruin your racks because that's the racks, that's the way you use it all the time. Okay, Rabbi Say,
Midi da Garita.
We know that the Torah is called Mimino Eish Dos Lomo. Right? The Torah is Eish, it's fire. And fire is a Slavus. It's a Slavus. And there's a pshat that I like, the Sefer Lev Aaron, of Aaron Teitelbaum, the Sefer Pirkei Avos. So he writes like this. He writes, what are the nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, was Lokasa HaGshamim Eishal HaMizbeach. That when it rained, when it would rain, you would think that you'd have a hard rain once in a while and it would extinguish the fire of the Mizbeach. But yet, no, it didn't. So he said a beautiful idea. He writes in the Lev Aaron of Pirkei Avos. He says, when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, so you're humbled. It's a humbling experience. The Sefer Shevet Mi'huda says, Omdos hayu agleinu b'sharach Yushalayim. And we're in the Sharach Yushalayim, we freeze because we're humbled. Omdos hayu agleinu b'sharach Yushalayim. So when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, on one hand, there's a lot of humility. And that's what Mayim is. Mayim, the Gemara says, Holech mimokom gavol mokom namuch. It's humbling. But sometimes if a person becomes humbled, so then he's not able to produce. He loses his ability. He's frozen. So the Chiddush in the Beis HaMikdash was that even though there was that even though the Beis HaMikdash is a mokum of humility, but it's also a mokum where we can get Hislavus from. The Eish of Mizbeach is the Hislavus. And so these two things don't necessarily, a lot of times it could be, mutually exclusive. If you have too much anava, you're not going to have Hislavus because you're going to think, oh, what can I do? What can I accomplish? So Lokasa HaGsham Mesech HaMishmech says Lava Aaron is as we have the humility, but didn't stunt our growth to continue our Hislavus. And if we have Hislavus, then Be'ez Hashem, that'll change the inside of us. And then the way the Sfarim writes, that will be like a Libun Pnimi. Because if you do things with Hislavus, with a Bren, so then that could change that could change who we are. And that could have a hashpa on ourselves. And that's the libun. And we know also the Medrash in this week's Parsha says that anyone who's Ola has Gaiva goes up, then Alamokta Alamizbeach, he's gonna be burnt in the fire, Chas v'Shalom. And now the idea, I think one idea that we see from Rabbi Reichman mentioned, Rav Gutman, other Rabbanim have mentioned, is that this experience of confinement and things like that is a very humbling experience. That, we always, Rabbi Reichman said, people say, Kochi v'osim yodi, people want to get around, do things, and all of a sudden we're confined. It's a very humbling experience, and that's, I said in the shiur last week, that, we say, Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. In other words, the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful idea that I said over last week, that he says, by other times we eat matzah, like the mincha, first we eat chametz, and then the matzah is the dessert. So it's ala sova. The matzah is the dessert. But halayla hazeh, kulo matzah. It's only matzah. Because we only focus on anivas. Because we have to leave Mitzrayim. It's like Chasam Sofer says, normally we go from one darga to the other. Chametz is one darga, it's the lower darga, and matzah danina is high darga. Here we had to leave right away, so it's only matzah, kulo matzah. And that's something that a person that the Medrash Rabba says in this week's parsha, kol hamizgoya nidon be'esh, shenemar hi ha'ola ala mokta. Okay, Rabosai, it's a pleasure always to see you all. Thank you, Rabbi Brand, Rabbi Kraft. Thank you all, the Chavrei HaKoilel.
Thank you so much. Chag Kosher
V'Sameach. And next time, it should be Achar HaMagefa, and everyone should be well, safe, healthy, together with whoever you're allowed to be together with on this Yontif. You should all be together, and we should all prosper, be well, gesund, and be able to continue our Limud HaTorah, our Batz HaTorah in all avenues.
Amen. Okay, Rabbi Simon. Okay. Thank you.